This is the Voice of the Arts podcast from WQED 89.3. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we are talking with organist Dr. Gail Archer. Dr. Gail Archer, thank you so much for being with us here today.
I'm delighted to be here.
All right. Dr. Gail, you're an international organist, recording artist, choral conductor, and lecturer. How did it all happen? Where did it start?
I found my calling early in life. I joined the church choir when I was 8 years old, and I was just starting piano lessons at that point. We had an old upright piano at home, and my mother was my first piano teacher. And I saw an organ at church and thought to myself, very interesting from the beginning. And the organist in our church allowed me to turn pages and pull stops from time to time when I was small. And by the time I was a teenager, 13 years old, 14, my legs were long enough so I could go over to the organ. And by that time, I had a few years of piano instruction and could read music by that time. So I was always interested in choir and organ, and then I was able to make a career of it.
Wow, that is awesome. I myself am also a piano player, so I can totally sympathize with the way of getting entrapped by piano and organ as well, and just being like, oh my God, I got to learn more.
Right. And just being fascinated by the idea of multiple keyboards and all of the registers. It always seemed fascinating to me because the organ had so many more choices for sonic color than the piano. So going over to the organ was a logical choice given all of that.
Yes, very much so. So can we talk a little bit about your most recent works? Your ninth album, Chernivtsi, a contemporary Ukrainian organ music, was released in 2020 and includes works from about six different composers, Ukrainian composers from the 19th to 21st century. Why did you decide to record these works? What drew them to you?
I've been traveling a great deal in Eastern Europe for about the last 15 years. And I became interested in the organ literature in that part of the world. So I started out with a Russian recording in 2017 and then made the Ukrainian CD and most recently a Polish CD that's called Caritas, which I just released earlier this year in 2022 in May. So I've been researching organ literature out in that part of the world because people in Western Europe and here in the United States have no idea about this literature and that there's such a wealth of organ music out in these Eastern European countries. There are also organs there that may not be in churches, but rather in organ halls. Typically, the organ is found in a chamber music hall that will be associated with the local philharmonic orchestra. So there's a large hall for the orchestra and then a smaller chamber music hall for string quartets or vocal recitals, and the organ will be there. In Eastern Europe, of course, the Eastern Orthodox Church does not have an organ. It is a sung tradition. So people think, well, perhaps there are no organs out in that part of the world, but they're wrong. The organs are often in chamber music halls and are played regularly, and there's an organ series, and that is exactly the case in Chernivtsi. This is on the Romanian border in western Ukraine. The organ is in the Armenian Catholic Church. It was a partnership between the Philharmonic and the church. The Philharmonic installed the organ, a Rigorklaus organ built in the Czech Republic, and the church church uses the organ for worship, and the Philharmonic uses the church for chamber music and the summer organ recital series. So I had played there in years before I made the recording and then requested the opportunity to play Ukrainian composers, the music of contemporary Ukrainian composers, on the organ and record it. And that's how that came to be.
Wow, that is such an amazing story, especially since I didn't know, and I bet a lot of people didn't know, that there's organ music all over the world, especially in what you said was Eastern Europe, especially in chamber halls. That's really awesome.
Yes. Many organists will play Bach, or they will play 19th century French Romantic music. That literature is very well known. But the interesting part of my field is to try to find music that people don't know and shed light on it and record it and perform it so that people become more familiar with different voices and different musical traditions. The music has very irregular rhythms and unusual harmony because they're not always using the traditional do re mi scale out in Eastern Europe. They may be using modal scales or acoustic scales that are really very different than the Western scale.
Yeah. Wow, that is very true. Does that make it harder to play for you with the different rhythms and the different...
Oh, no, I don't think it's a matter of harder. I like that sort of thing. I like the irregularity of it all because it demands that you invest yourself in the rhythms. It's the irregularity is what makes it so interesting to play. The fact that everything isn't going along 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, this is what's more interesting about it. You have five beats followed by seven beats followed by three. That kind of irregularity is what makes the music so fresh and interesting to play.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you kind of touched on your 10th album, which was your Polish Works. And so that was kind of like a third in your trilogy of recordings of contemporary organ music. So, and you've done earlier things like Bach and Liszt. What's going to be your next album?
I'm actually practicing right now a set of pieces from Bulgaria. I reviewed a book by Pavel Mazurok last year for the Diapason. He wrote a book about Bulgarian organ music saying the same thing. No one thinks there is any, but there is. And there are 12 volumes that Sabin Levine has put together of Bulgarian composers, both men and women. And fortunately, here at Columbia University, our music library has that set. There's also a set at the Oberlin Conservatory at Oberlin College in the Midwest. That are in this country that would be available for interlibrary loan. So I was very fortunate that I could take that whole set home this summer and just play through a lot of it and make selections. So I'm working on that music right now, and we'll probably record it in the next year or so.
Wow, that's awesome. Especially since it's not as well known. And like you said, you have like one of two copies in the U.S. That's awesome.
Right, but it's published. I mean, it's published by the composers. There's a composers' league or a composers' union in Bulgaria, living composers who are active there now, and they gathered the music of their colleagues and saw to it that it was beautifully published. So it's available. You can buy it. There's no question. But there are, collections of this music here in libraries here in the United States. And I happened to teach at one of those places. So it was particularly easy for me to get the music and be able to play through that music this summer. So there's a great deal more to explore in Eastern Europe, and that's my mission, to shed light on this music, which is little known.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're going to be busy for the next couple of years, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I've got lots to do. There are many more countries to explore.
Oh, yeah. You're also the founder of Moose Forum. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and how you created it?
Yes. As I was traveling both in the United States and in Europe, I listened to the stories of my women colleagues and some of the challenges and disappointments that they faced when they were trying to make career progress. Women who are highly educated and skilled, they're organists, they're conductors, they're composers, they're teaching music theory and history on the university level. And yet when they apply for a position, they're often passed over in favor of a younger male colleague who has nowhere near the education and skills of the women. And this is a problem across the board, because women are seen as a challenge to the authority in a conservatory or in a college or in a cathedral situation. In the United States, there are only two women who are the chief cathedral musician in a major city, one here in New York and one in Houston, Texas. And I did the work. I researched all the women organists in North America and published it in 2013, because the opportunities for women simply didn't exist. So many jobs are filled simply by some personal connection. There is no search. You can't even apply for the job when it comes open, because it's already filled by some kind of inside track that when they simply receive a recommendation from one of the conservatories or one of the universities, and women have no opportunity to even apply. So I said, no, this is not the way things should be. And so I started Muse Forum. It means a music forum, but also the muses, meaning the ancient Greek muses, Muse Forum, a forum for women musicians is what it is. And we've got about 300, 350 women on it now, and it's completely free. And we have conferences every other year. We haven't had any conference because of the pandemic, but we are having one in February of 2023 at Arizona State University in Tempe, which is the Phoenix area. So that will be fun. It will be our first gathering in several years. And we have an online magazine. We feature one of our members on the website each month and profile their work. So it's to encourage and support women organists.
That is fantastic, especially since with women across the board in music and, not being able to get jobs is very much, or even promotions, as you said, is very much a big problem in the music industry, and especially with organists, because the job market for organists are already so small, and then combine that with, you need to not promote within, but promote other people, especially women. That is very hard. I'm glad that you have that. That's great to organize everywhere.
Right. It is very difficult. It's been heartbreaking at times hearing what happens when women are passed over for promotion, or they're dismissed because they receive reviews in newspapers or journals. Somehow that press overshadows whoever the leadership might be. And so the women lose their jobs altogether, and it's difficult for them to recover and find another position. So we need to have some solidarity and support one another so that women do move forward on the basis of merit.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. So you're doing three concerts here in the state of Pennsylvania, one being in Pittsburgh at the St. Bernard Church. Can you tell us what you're going to be playing?
Yes, that's a mixed program. I'll be playing three pieces off my Ukrainian album, a piece by Viktor Gonchurenko and a Pasakalia by Mykola Kolesa, and a piece by Svetlana Ostrova, who lives in Kiev. She's alive, her Shakon. But then that program also starts with some traditional music, with some Bach and some Brahms, then the Ukrainian pieces, and then pieces by women composers. Three short pieces by Nadia Boulanger, and then a Te Deum at the end by Jean Demestier. So she's a French composer who passed away in the 1960s and a remarkable player-composer. So it's an interesting mixed program.
Yes, it is. And it'll be such a great program to hear the wide varieties of all the different pieces, for sure.
Yes, I like to do that sort of thing. But the other two concerts, the one at the Cathedral in Scranton and then the one at St. John Cantius in Philadelphia, that's the Polish program, because both of those parishes are traditionally they are Polish language services at those churches. So there is a strong Polish community both in Scranton and in that particular district of Philadelphia where St. John Cantius is located. So in the case of Scranton, there's going to be a synod, a meeting of various clergy in the days prior to the concert on that Saturday night. I think it's October 20th or 21st, which I'm not looking at my calendar right this moment, but I could. Just a minute. We'll find out when it is, because both of those concerts are the same weekend in October. Let's see if I can...
That's a busy weekend for you.
Yeah, one's on Saturday night. Ah, here it is. So Saturday night, the 22nd, I'm playing at the Cathedral to end the synod. It's the last event in this meeting of clergy at the Polish Cathedral. And then I'll just take the train on down from Scranton to Philadelphia on Sunday morning and play the same program in the afternoon in Philadelphia. And I'll practice for that earlier in the week. I'm planning to go to Philadelphia on Tuesday of the previous week and practice and then come back up to New York. So it's going to be a busy weekend, but I know the program and I've played it already regularly in the Midwest last spring. I did a tour of half a dozen different Polish connected communities and played the program there. As you may know, there's a very strong Polish presence in the Midwest. And so I really enjoyed going to those places in the spring.
Wow. Yeah. So that'll be like an old hand for you to play, which would be nice.
Well, yeah, the concerts took place before the release of the CD, but I was playing that program.
Yeah.
And then after it was all over, then I sent a big package full of CDs to my host so that they could give them to the people in their parish that were particularly interested in it. So it was a lovely project, and I was glad to have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And before you come to Pennsylvania, you are going to be in Italy for a day. Could you tell us what you're going to do there?
Yes. I will be playing in a place called Pianezza, which is near Turin in northern Italy. And they've asked me to play my Ukrainian program. They wanted to honor the courage and strength of the Ukrainian people, and they're advertising it as such. So I think that will be really lovely.
That will be really lovely, especially given the current times. Speaking of...
I just played the Ukrainian program at the Ukrainian Cathedral in Philadelphia on Sunday, this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
There was no organ. There is no organ in the Ukrainian Cathedral because it's a sung tradition, as I mentioned earlier. But the local organist guild from the American Guild of Organists spoke with one of the piano and organ dealerships in the Philadelphia area, and they provided a very large electronic organ, a digital organ, and they hooked it all up, and then they did a tremendous amount of publicity, and then all of the proceeds from the concert went to Caritas, which is a charitable foundation working in Poland with Ukrainian refugees. So it was a charity concert, and it was very well attended. We were so pleased with the response from the community in Philadelphia. There were so many people, and we know we raised a great deal of money for Caritas. So I've had wonderful experiences in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to have some more in the next couple of weeks.
Yay!
Yes,
that's
it will
awesome.
Be. Yeah, I had a really wonderful time. And for those in Philadelphia who may never have visited the Ukrainian Cathedral on Franklin Street, they should take a few minutes and go there. The building is so beautiful. There are mosaics inside the building that are extraordinary to see, the works of art and the stained glass. It is a beautiful domed cathedral building that's well worth a few minutes of people's time just to see the architecture and the decoration inside. Beautiful building.
Mm, I bet. Amazing. Would you like to talk about anything else before we end today?
Well, young people, we hope, will become increasingly interested in choir and organ. These great arts are worth preserving. We need to lift up hearts and minds after this terrible pandemic. And singing together is one of the ways that we can all do this, whether it's in community choirs or church choirs. My beloved university choir meets tonight for the first time this semester, and I can hardly wait to see them. They are 85 strong, undergraduates, graduate students, faculty, alumni. We have such a remarkably good time together. And organ is a part of that, too. Organ is so powerful, colorful, diverse, different kinds of expression from countries around the world. So I hope that young people will continue to study the organ and will take advantage of choral opportunities. This is a way that we can heal and move forward in a positive spirit after all the challenges we have all faced.
Yes, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you so much, Dr. Archer, for phoning in today.
My great pleasure. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Of course. Dr. Gail Archer is an international concert organist, choral conductor, and lecturer. She'll be performing here in Pittsburgh on October 16th at the St. Bernard Church in Mount Lebanon at 3 p.m. Her concert is free to attend. Please make sure to check out her two newest albums, which feature works by contemporary Ukrainian and Polish composer. You can find those albums and more at gailarcher.com. My name is Emily Bruner, and this is WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast.